All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first official episode of Down and Dirty. What an honor it is to be shooting with one of my bestest friends here in Connecticut. We have a very special episode lined up for you guys. I'm very excited about this moment. I'm holding back tears as I speak. It's like, can't believe it.
Me either.
So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, my friend, Jackie. Go ahead and say hello to the people.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, so we have never done anything like this before, even though we talk all the time. This is just a little more formal, and we're going to talk about some good stuff today. Let you guys get a feel as to what Down and Dirty is going to be like and represent. The setting that we're in, we are in Connecticut right now, a little getaway, girls' weekend, celebrating Jackie, celebrating me, having a good time. Like I said, this is our first time, so bear with us as we gather our bearings. And everything is off limits here. We are going to talk about it all. And yeah, let's start. So, Jackie, if you can please introduce yourself a little bit. Tell the people just a little bit about yourself, but not too much. Just a little bit, because we don't want to give it all away yet. So, how are you feeling today?
Okay. What am I supposed to say about myself? Okay. So, I'm Jackie. I'm 29 years old.
Okay.
I'm Mexican.
Woo!
What else can I say? I'm feeling okay. I'm a little sick, so I'm gonna probably eat.
Yes, our beverages here lined up. Jackie is a little sick, so just bear with her. We're gonna try our best here. So, I want to talk about your upbringing. That is our first topic here today. I want you to share a little bit about your upbringing. I want to know where you are from, where did you grow up, and what are some challenges that you faced growing up?
Okay. I was born in New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, born and raised. The challenges. It was a whole lot of them. I'm the first generation of my parents are immigrants. I think the biggest challenge was my parents, as they were born and raised in Mexico, they had like a mentality of, you know, like their mentality is a very different one than when you live here in the U.S. So growing up, it was like I was going to school with kids that their parents were born here. So their, you know, culture is different. So that was probably one of the biggest challenges for me. My parents only speak Spanish. So even though I was born here, my first language is Spanish. So that was a challenge because I was got bully for that. I was like, I never fit in because either you're too Hispanic or you're not American. But I was born here and that was one of the biggest ones in school. My parents were not rich people. So obviously that was a big challenge too. We went through a lot of stuff like moving around. I went to different schools. My parents worked really hard for wherever they wanted, but you know, you always have those challenges of you just get what you need, not what you want. Other than that, I honestly don't think that my upbringing was that bad. Aside from my parents always working, you know, going to babysitters, and in the summer when school was out, they would either send me to Mexico and I would be with my grandparents, and that was a whole different lifestyle as well. So I kind of got that in me too, that I wasn't like a pueblo kind of thing. To those that don't know what a pueblo is, that's like basically like you're in a farm or like you're in a place where there's old dirt, animals.
Yeah, and campo y la finca.
Yeah, stuff like that. So that was a really like a big challenge for me too, because like as well over there, you're coming from the U.S. So to them it's like, oh my God, you're coming from New York or New Jersey. Like to them it's like New York is everything. And it's like, well, yeah, I live over there, but I'm nothing special. It's just more like I'm here and my parents sent me. And Then it was like they look at you and like, oh, you don't know about this, or like you're into like fantasy or something. And it's like, no, I'm not fancy, but it's like you, I felt like I never fit in nowhere. So that was pretty much where that was like a big challenge for me, because now as an adult, I appreciate that, because I think it has humbled me in so many ways, and it kind of built character for me. So that was good. Yeah, pretty much that's it. I mean, the only crazy thing that I had growing up that happened to me was getting hit by a car or run over by a car. Which was also, it was a little,
So at what age did that happen?
at five. I was 5 years old, and it was a, like, crazy story was that I was crossing the street and I felt like I was an adult. So I was like, oh my God, I'm crossing the street by myself. So like, I did it once, and I was like, okay, I crossed the street, I was safe. I was like, I'm gonna do it again. So I did it like, I think 10 times, until one time I just crossed it and the girl that hit me, she just like hit me. All I saw was myself go up the air and come back down. And we were not supposed to be outside because my mom was working. So when that all happened, like we were little kids, we were outside in the streets. And so I never went to the hospital. My mom never took me to the hospital because she was scared that typhus or something would, like, the cops are gonna get involved. And so I was at home for like 3 months recovering. I didn't go to school. And don't ask me how my mom figured it out at school, because I was, well, honestly, it was during the summer. So I guess those 2 months out of school, it was like, okay, she's good. But then when it was September theme and I wasn't going to school, they were like, where is this girl? So I think my mom had to, I don't know what she said, but my whole face was destroyed. I don't even know how I survived, but it was pretty hectic. But other than that, pretty much that's really what it is. I mean, there's a whole lot of, I don't know if we want me to go in deep into it.
Yeah, I think we'll take it easy.
Yes.
We'll progress there. I want to know, like, what are the most formative experience of your childhood? Like, top three moments that really shaped who you are today.
Oh my God.
Top three.
Like, good ones or bad ones?
It could be whatever you want.
Okay, so three things that shaped me. Okay. I think the first one was, I think it was my, I don't know if it was like an experience, more like it was more like the way I was treated, like with my mom, like the way my mom treated me, she treated me like if I was very fragile. So I think that she always had this protection over me. Like, I'm telling you, my mom would sit me in a chair and she'll be like, don't move, because if you move, you're gonna fall. So I think that a lot of the things that my mom, the way she kind of raised me, she made me be a fearful person. And I think that shaped me to become a little, as I got older, I started becoming more scared of things. And I used to be like, well, like, it's a good thing that your mom wants to protect you, but it was also like a bad thing, because it's like, I don't want to be scared all the time. And so breaking that thing of fear, and like
That
not,
barrier.
yeah, that barrier was, it has shaped me to, I think now I'm a better, like a better woman, as because I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna be scared, or like I'm more challenging now. But that kind of like, for a long, long time, I was very scared for many things. Like, I wouldn't do certain things because it's like, no, because my mom said it's not safe, or like, so I think that kind of shaped me to be a very, and it was kind of annoying to many people. Like a lot of people find that very annoying. And I still think that I have that in me a little bit, but I also be like, no, I'm not gonna be scared. Like, I'm just gonna do it. That was one thing that I could tell you that kind of shaped me for who I am. This was a very like traumatic one. It was my mom. Like, it's kind of hard for me to say, but my mom was going through a lot of mental, I think my mom has, I'm not gonna say my mom has mental illness, but my mom was going through, adulthood. And I think that her being coming to this country and not knowing how to handle her previous stuff from her, probably her childhood too, kind of, she needed a lot of healing. And my dad was not a big person that, helped her with that. I think he kind of triggered her more because the way my dad acted during those years. So my mom, she went through it, and I remember that it was 9/11, and I remember the Twin Towers kind of, and that was when the whole situation happened. And that I remember that day, the The schools were closing early, and everybody was getting, every kid was getting sent home, and no one picked me up. And my mom, they were calling my mom, and my mom was, she was trying to commit suicide. So I remember that day, they kept calling my mom. I wasn't like the only kid in school with the principal, and my mom was nowhere to be found. And I think that I always feared my mom not being there. So that's like, it's kind of messy, because it's like, okay, well, my mom always made me protected me, and that's just like the one that's protecting me is not protected. So I remember my dad, they called my dad because my dad was at work during that day, and they were like, where's your daughter's here and no one's picking her up. And I think we went home like around 1 or 12. I don't remember. It was an early dismissal. I don't know what time it was, but I know it was like 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and no one was picking me up. And it was already like 3, 4 hours, and no one was picking me up. So my dad, they called my dad, and they asked him like, can you come pick up your daughter? Your wife is not picking up the phone. And it's, I think my dad had like a feeling or something. He was like, can you just give me 1 more hour? And he talked to me on the phone. He was like, you know, esperando una hora, you waited out. And then I was like, okay, Zach. And I remember like that he told the principal, he was like, I just need you to give me 1 more hour. I have to check on my wife first, and I'm gonna go get my kid. And all I remember that day, that my dad, when he picked me up, my mom wasn't home. And then when I went to the hospital, I was the only one that knew what was that saw my mom, because not because I had a choice, like my dad had no choice at that point, because I think my brother and my sister were with my cousins or my aunts, I don't even know, but I was the only one that he had to pick up, so he took me with her. So when I saw my mom like that, I was like, oh, like this is bad, like we're really like, this is terrible, like why is my mom in the hospital? And I remember that literally that week. Like when you're little, you don't know the difference between time. Like I don't know. Like I was like very little, so I didn't know tomorrow was today. You know what I mean? Like it was like all over the place. So all I remember is that I was in the hospital, and the next thing I know, I was already at a new apartment, like a new house. We had moved to a different house, and it was like, oh wow, like change really happens like this. And it was like, wow, okay, like it was crazy. The one that could shake me was, I think it was when my mom. She basically made me work as a young, like I was like 13, 14 years old, and my mom was like, you need to get a job. And it was because my dad had lost his job or something like that. We were just really going through it financially. And I think when I was like 13, 14, and I started working, and then when I officially had a real job at the age of 15, it was like I was already giving money like to my parents, like okay, like I was like supporting them in some sense. Like my mom was like, we need this, we need that. Everybody was working in my house, so it was like I think that kind of shaped me to be like a hardworking person, and just like you're never, my mom always told me this, like you're never gonna starve, like God gave you 2 legs, gave you two hands to work, and you're gonna go to work and you're gonna do this. So I think that shaped me to be like a workaholic, and I worked so much my whole basically since then. So I'm pretty sure that's pretty much what shaped me to be the person I am now, that is pretty awful. In a sense.
Have you thought about your identity if you wouldn't, if you hadn't had your mom? Like, who do you think that you would be?
My God, I'm gonna cry.
It's okay.
I don't think I'll be anybody. I'm like, oh my God, this is so emotional.
Good.
I think that as a younger person, I don't know if probably my younger self probably would be like, I will be, I'm always gonna be Jackie, you know? But now as an adult, it's like, nah, like my mom, I think I learned that when I was probably like an adult, like I was 17, 18, well, 18 years old. And I remember my mom when she got her green card, 'cause she went to Mexico, and she left the first time, and I'm like, okay. Then the second time, and she okay. And every single time my mom left, something bad always happened. Something always happens. Things just went wrong. And I'm like, where's my mom? So I remember like I think the third time she was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to Mexico, and she'll go. And I'll be like, I started crying. I'm like, no, because every time you go, something bad always happens. And I don't want you to go ever. And I don't know, I think my mom is such a strong woman that I think that I'm the youngest. I'm like her baby. She tried not to make me. She tried to make things better for me, but it wasn't better. It was just like, you know, when sometimes you do too good, but it's not good. That's what it was. And I think that my mom tried so much with me that that kind of like, oh, like I felt like I hated her. Like when I was young, I was like, I hate you. Like, get off my back. And now it's like, no, mom, thank you. Because thanks to you, I didn't do all those mistakes that I couldn't. If I did 10 mistakes, my mom stopped me from making 50. So it's like, I can't see myself without my mom. Like, I can't. Like, I don't think that I would be the person that I am now. And overall, just like, just have in general, like, I wouldn't have been able to do the things that I've done. I wouldn't have had the privilege of many things. And just overall, like, aside from that, like, my mom has always been my rock. Like, she's been everyone's rock. Good or bad, my mom doesn't break. So it's like, I can't even imagine myself without my mom or being anyone without her. Like, I don't know how to explain that at all.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot with my mom. And I think one thing I can recognize is that my identity through my mom has attracted the people in my life. So my mom has made me who I am and pushed me to do the things that I've done, which in return have attracted like the type of people that I bring into my circle. And I think that is like one thing I'm so thankful for. Like when I see her and I see people show up for her, and then I think about people showing up for me, it's like, wow, like I'm like, this is my mom. Like she really made me this way to give to the world this way. And in return, I get that back. So it's like the same thing. Like I wouldn't know who I am without her, which is crazy, right? Because we were driving to Connecticut yesterday, and we always have big discussions, which is crazy because now we're recording one of them. But a lot of the stuff we obviously know about each other already. But our moms are just essential. Like we were talking about, if we were to lose our moms, like what would that feel like? Or that same feeling that growing up, you just like want them off your back. It's like, oh, do this, do that, act this way, don't go here, don't hang out with this person. And they're always right, and they always say, you know, one day when you're older, you're gonna recognize that I'm right. Like I'm not lying to you, I'm not saying these lies. And we're young and we're just listening and say, oh, mom doesn't know anything. But then you grow older and every single piece of your life you just sit there and wonder and think like, wow, my mom was right in every single sense. Like she never misses a beat. And then we were saying how we hate when our moms are right. So, I mean, shout out to them, Gabriela and Irma, like we say, because we don't want to gas you guys up too much, but you guys are definitely right. I want to know, in the difficult times that we've talked about, what or who helped you? Like any specific person, any specific strategy? Like, let's say you got into an argument or something really crazy happened, and you would go to a certain place and reflect, or you would talk to a certain person. Like, what or who helped you navigate those difficult times?
Like overall, like my in my life or
Yeah, it can in your youth.
my
In your youth, yeah.
oh
Like young life, teen life.
honestly, I don't think I ever had anyone.
Okay.
I don't think that, well, if I ever went through something difficult, I don't think I ever spoke about it at all. Like I never expressed it. I just took it and I didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell so I didn't even, I didn't even do like anything like journals or diaries. Like I've always had like notebooks where I used to like draw or like, doodle little things or create like, my little sketchbook or something like that. But I've never had anyone that I went to and I said, oh, like I need help or yeah, I don't think I don't even, neither my sister, like if my sister went through whatever or my brother, whoever, my siblings, we never spoke about it.
Okay.
I mean, I won't know something they did and they got in trouble, but I don't think I've ever had a, yeah, because my mom, My mom was tough. So even if you were going through something and you cried, she would have smacked you and said, go clean the house. And then she's gonna see you got no time to cry. So I really didn't have anything like, or any, like, younger, I didn't even have, like, I didn't even have a bike. You know, like, you could go to the park. I had a scooter, but I didn't have a bike. Like, and that's why I was thinking about that this morning. We were eating breakfast. I was like, because you were like, I was like, yo, I really don't know how to ride a bike. But I know how to ride a bike, but I'm not good at it. So it's like, because I never had one. And it's like, I had my scooter, and it's like, I didn't have an actual person like that could have given me advice or could have told me, you know. No, I didn't. And I also didn't have friends. Oh, I mean, I had friends. I didn't have a friend where I could have been like, oh, like my, I mean, what kind of a person that's the same age as me give me as advice? I mean,
Yeah.
but I never really had anyone.
Did you ever feel like giving up?
When I was young?
Yeah.
No. I think that I felt like giving up as an adult, but I don't think I've ever felt like giving up as a child. Or growing up, even as like a teenager, or like, no, I always wanted more. And I always said, like, every time I would feel like upset or sad, or if I was going through something or I felt like something, I was like, nah, like, I would make like these plans. Like, I'm here right now, but I'm gonna be here and how I'm gonna get there, you know? And I will always find up, like, I will always call them, and my whole family always laughed at me because I was used to always say, it's like, I'm doing my escape plan, like, I'm escaping, like, you guys are not gonna see me ever again. And I used to do that. And I think that was like my motivation. So I think that even if I was like at the lowest, I've always said, well, I'm here, but you guys are never gonna see me like this again. And even though I always had high lows and I came back and that is like up and down, I realized I'm gonna get out of this. But I have felt like giving up as an older person, because I mean, the older you get, the problems become bigger. So.
Yeah. So after all the trials and tribulations as you were growing up as a child, your young teen life, and now as an adult, like you said, 29 years old, turning the big 3-0
Oh my God.
soon.
That's scary.
Hey, they say that 30 is really when you start living. I mean, 26
I
rough.
had a 40.
Somebody
But I'll take
could be
30.
like, girl, it's 50 actually. All I know is 20s, not for the weak.
No.
Not for the weak. But now that you are closing out 20s very soon, which is crazy, who is Jackie now? What have you accomplished? So, to make it a little easier, give me three things, right, that make up your identity as who you are now, like three adjectives. And then I want to know what you have accomplished today, which I think you know what it is, and that's where we're going to talk about next.
Okay, so three adjectives about me. I think I'm very genuine. I think I'm also kind. I'm gonna say that I'm very emotional. Like, now that I'm more, what I am those three things now, because it took me a while to learn how to be that. Like, it, and it's like before I didn't know it. But now it's like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely genuine. But, and I'm also kind to people, because I could be really mean sometimes. And I know that I could be, but I'd be like, you know what, let me hold back. Because now I had to be kind. Like, sometimes you, it's really like, you, it's better if you're not mean and just be kind. Just let it go. And I'm also, I think emotional now, because now it's like, I listen to my feelings. I listen to, okay, this is how I feel, and this is how I want to feel, and I'm gonna feel it, and no matter what. That's it. If I'm sad, I'm sad. If I'm happy, I'm happy. All right.
Okay, so we're talking about three things. So genuine, kind, and emotional.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's one that I thought you were going to say, and I mentioned it yesterday, which is one of the biggest topics about this episode, which is your resilience.
Oh.
And I think, well, I think sometimes we don't really acknowledge certain things about ourselves. Like, we quickly think about the what we show every day, like to everyone. But I think your whole life is built on resilience.
What does that mean, though? I don't know what that means.
It's like what keeps you going.
Okay.
So it's about, right, you've never felt like giving up. You still, with everything that's been going on, have never given up. So you're very just like you keep at it. Like you fight through that battle no matter what the battle is, like you just keep going. So what have you accomplished recently?
I graduated nursing school,
Woo!
which is one of my biggest accomplishments. It was a very tough one too. I think that's the main thing that I've accomplished so far in my life. What else have I accomplished? I think I've traveled more.
Yeah,
So that's a
a
big thing.
lot.
Which is, it's a good thing for me because I'm not a person that knew what it was to travel until I started traveling. What else have I accomplished?
Finding a great best friend.
That too. I think I'm like when it comes to accomplishments, I think that it's taken me a very long time to get where I am. So like I haven't done so much because I have been like I've always had like a goal and it's like, okay, I want to go to school for nursing. So okay, let me do this. And I worked myself to that and now I got into nursing school and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna graduate nursing school and I graduated nursing school and it's like, okay, now really all my 20s was basically like trying to go to school. So that's pretty much my biggest accomplishment. Traveling as well, like within the years. And I think just overall just enjoying my life, which it took me a while to do.
Yeah, but you got there and that's what matters. And I think even that about resilience shows that you did not give up in this whole ride of this 20s decade. You just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and just in a couple of weeks we'll be there, you know, watching you getting pinned and starting this long-awaited journey that we all like knew was going to happen for you. So I can't wait for that to happen. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I want to take the conversation into another topic now.
Okay.
I want to talk about your diagnosis, and I want to talk about it from the beginning. So tell me about that day.
Oh my God. I'm gonna cry again. So it all started a day where, well, first of all, as you guys just heard, I went to school for nursing. And a lot of times when you go to school, I guess for in the medical field, whether it's like nursing or whatever, anything that has to do with medicine, you have to do physicals. Like you have to go get checked by the doctor, you have to do all these tests. And so I went to get my physical. It was like my year physical that I had to get done. I had to get some vaccines, blood work, all these stuff. So I went to get it done. I actually just went to an urgent care, like a regular urgent care. I got everything done, my blood work, and I think that was like on a Thursday or Friday, I don't remember. But then it was like a Saturday or Sunday, and I went to the beach, and I was hanging out, having the best time of my life, you know. And I got a phone call from the urgent care, and it was a Sunday actually, because I was surprised that they were calling me from. I was like, what? They're calling me on a Sunday? And they were like, hey, your blood work came back, and they're like, we just have a question, and they were like, are you sick at the moment? Like, do you have like any type of cold or fevers or stuff like that? And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't have anything. They were like, oh, because your blood work came back up normal. So my white blood cells were very high. When they told me that, I was like, well, I'm good. And they were like, oh, well, just look like for the next couple of days, just make sure that if you get sick, you know, just come to the doctor and follow up and so you could give me like any medicine or anything like that that you may need. So I was like, okay. So a couple of days passed by and I didn't get sick. And I had to go get my results. So because I needed a copy of the results. So I went back there and they were like, do you feel sick? And then the doctor basically asked me, like, are you sick? Like, do you feel anything? I was like, no, I'm fine. Like, I don't feel anything. And they were like, there's no way you could not feel sick and this is your lab work. So they're like, we're gonna redo it again. So they redid it again. And my blood work came back up normal again. So they were like, I think you should follow up with your primary doctor. So I was like, I don't even have a primary doctor. And I was like, okay, well, I'll figure it out. So it kind of started to get me worried because I was like, yeah, why is my blood work up normal? And so I went to the doctor. And another reason why I also went was because I kind of thought that school would not accept my abnormal blood work because I thought everything had to be in shape because you have to go to clinicals and stuff like that. And I was like, I need to get this done. So I also, that was another reason why I went to the doctor, to my primary doctor. So I go to my primary doctor. He looks at my lab work and he was like, okay, we're going to do it the third time. Do all these tests and they're just not going to be like, yeah, you have this. So they did another blood work and it came back even more abnormal. So they're like, okay, so this is not good. So they started doing like all these, like okay, we're going to give you, they gave me antibiotics first because they're like, you probably have an infection and we don't even know. And I was like, okay, well, I don't feel anything. So I started to get worried because I'm like, I have an infection with where? Because I don't know what the hell is going on. I was starting to freak out. And then I remember they were like, okay, so I took the antibiotics. Nothing was working. I still had abnormal blood work. They overall just started doing, like doing all these crazy testing, like MRIs, CAT scans, and stuff like that. And they were like, you know what? We're going to do. I also was anemic and my hemoglobin was very low. It was like, I think I was like at six. And they were like, are you like fainting? Like, are you like, are you like, are you, how, what do you feel? And I was like, well, all I feel is back pain. And I'm like, if I'm gonna complain about something, I have terrible back pain and I'm always tired. I'm so tired all the time. And in the mornings, I wake up and I feel so nauseous. Like, I always think, like, I used to be like, if I didn't know that I was taking care of myself, I would have thought I was pregnant, you know, and I would be throwing up or like nauseous, like vomiting, vomiting, vomiting. I'm like, that's the only thing that, and they were like, do you eat? And I was like, yeah. So for a second, they even thought that I was bulimic. And I was like, no, I don't, no, I eat, I don't eat and throw up. Like, I don't do that. And I was like, there's nothing to do with my, like, with my eating habits or anything like that. And they're like, so your back hurts? And I was like, yeah, my back hurts a lot. And I was like, but that's because I also was going to the gym a lot. So I thought it was normal because I was like, my back hurts. And I was feeling like so badly. Like, so that's why sometimes when I would work out, and you know, I used to work out, I used to lift and everything. They were like, and you never thought, like, you know, nothing else, nothing off. And I'm like, no, because I thought I was sore. Like, I thought it was just me. You know, I'm getting older. Like, I'm not 21. And they used to be, they like, my doctors were laughing because they're like, you're the only person that comes in here and says that they feel old. I have older, like, patients and stuff like that. So, long story short, they ended up doing a bone marrow biopsy. And when they did that, they were like, okay, so you are anemic, definitely anemic. And they started doing like all these other tests. And then they're like, okay, this is coming back up normal. I can't tell you like how specific because I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. But they just told that he just told me like my, they did like smears, like some smears or something like that, and my bone, my cells or something like that, and they just like said, yeah, your blood work is not good at all, and we're gonna refer you to an oncologist. And when I heard that, I was like, an oncologist, like why? Like, that's crazy. So I also didn't freak out because a lot of oncologists. He was an oncologist hematologist, so it's like blood doctor with an like a cancer doctor. So I was like, okay. And they're like, it's because if you are anemic, and they basically didn't tell me much. It was like, if you're anemic, you need to get treatment by somebody that's like specialized in this, and also we also have to refer you because we need to double check that it's not something that has to do with cancer. So that's when I started to freak out, and I was like, this is crazy. And then when I went to the hematologist oncologist and he did all these testing as well, he just basically told me, like, did the testing and told me, okay, when you have to come into the office. I was like, okay, can you call me? Like, can you tell me over the phone? They're like, no, these doctors don't be telling you nothing through the phone. They just want you to come in. So I'm like, oh my God, you
I
gotta
hate
go. And
that.
so,
Those
so
are
I
like,
went,
tell me.
and especially because I was in school like during that time, or like, I don't even, to be honest, it's like a, it's crazy because I'm really looking at the camera because it's like you see in movies where people get like, I don't think you've ever seen movies where someone gets diagnosed with cancer and you're like, literally, like you really just hear a ring. And it's just like, I can't even tell you, like, I don't even remember. Like, I remember some things, but it's like, if you ask me right now, like, Jackie, what did they tell you about your MRI casting? I'm like, girl, I don't even know. Or like, past scans or anything that they did to me, like, I'd be like, I don't even know. Like I honestly think that the day that I sat there, I was by myself. Like I was literally by myself, and I was like, all I remember was that he told me that, and I was like in the biggest denial of my life. I'm like, there's no fucking way that, huh? Like no way. Like there's no way. Like this is not my life. And I remember I was like, okay, like I'm gonna go, and I remember I just took my papers and I was like, okay. And I remember that I didn't even tell no one. I didn't tell no one. I didn't even tell them. I was just like, as can be. Because I was like, I'm gonna go and tell my mom. Like, the doctor just told me I have leukemia or like cancer. And then I was just shocked. So I was like, nah, I'm gonna go to another doctor. So I was like, I have to go to a second opinion. And the second opinion told me the same thing. And then they did the tests. And I'm like, yep, you have. And I was like, okay. And then it still hit me. And then I was like, but I was still in denial. So I was like, I'm gonna go again to another one. I went to like three doctors, and the fourth one was the pediatric one. That's when he took my case. Doctors that I went to, all of them gave you the same thing. And then the only one that gave me hope was the pediatric one. Mind you, I'm 29. So when I got diagnosed, I was what, 28? 20, almost 28? I don't remember. You see, I don't even.
You were around 27.
But
You're almost
almost 28.
28.
Yeah, I was going into 28, right? So
Yeah.
at first, when I got my first, like, they were like, okay, like, actually, no. I did start my treatment. I started the treatment that they gave me, but they didn't have fully diagnosed me yet. So they were like, okay, this is not working. So this, like, it took a while. They were like really taking a while to get where I am now. And during that time, that it was like a good solid 6 months, and I was okay. I was back to regular. Like, my blood was normal, everything was okay. And I'm like, okay, you're good. Like, I think you're actually, you know what, we might, before I even went to all these doctors, they were trying to fix the problem already, like my knee and all that. And then at one point, I think my blood work got like regular, like it was work something was working. And they're like, okay. And then like, I think they like only lasted like a month or two or something like that. I don't even remember the time. My timing is off because I was also very focused in school, so I can't even tell you. Like, it was just weird. And I remember that when I went to the doctor, and then I went to all these doctors, these four doctors, I felt like they were not giving me no hope. Like, they were just like, yeah, like, I guess they do this for a living, so it's like, you're just another one, you know? But the pediatric one was the one that kind of gave me more of a hope, because leukemia doesn't really happen to people like my age.
So what is the cancer?
Leukemia is like blood cancer, basically.
Okay, are there like stages of
There are
leukemia?
stages, when there's different ones. So it all depends on, I guess, which, honestly, my leukemia is like the first, the beginning of it. Like, so my blood work is kind of like, my blood is just not, my bone marrow is not producing the right cells, and they're cancerous. And the only thing that kind of made it, I think, so the way the doctor told me, I don't know too much of it, but not that I don't know too much of it, but I don't know how to explain it to you in the simple form. But he basically said, like, the only thing that makes your case a little different is because your blood is not normal, but you also have tumors. So some so your my cancer could, like, let's say, like, for example, I had a tumor in my knee. So you have knee cancer, like you have cancer in your knee or something like that. So it's all different. It all depends on like how you're, because there's people that have like liver cancer, or that they have like pancreatic cancer, and that's just like, it doesn't necessarily mean
Just
that it's,
affect that,
yeah. And
right?
it's like, so to me, it was like my anemia is what kind of the categories of things. I wish that I wish you were in the business, so you kind of know. I wish I could show you the paperwork, because I don't have it here with me, but it's everything. It just kind of like tells you like what it is and how it is. The thing is that mostly leukemia happens to younger kids, like kids. So I guess also another thing that I could kind of say is that is it also like is in my genes, like it's just genetic. Like, my family, my dad's part of the family has, this is the cancer that they all have. So I guess it just kind of came to me. Like, I also feel like it probably was probably something that was since I was little, but it never really affected me until now. I'm not gonna say that I had cancer when I was little, because I didn't have it, but I know that it, the like, now that I think back into time, and I'm like, okay, well, this was going on with me, and my mom was not the one to take me to my annual physicals. So it kind of like, it's just like, I'm not saying that it can't happen, because it could happen to anyone, but it's just more like, it's unheard of to say, okay, you have this type of cancer. So at this point, what affected me more was not that I had the leukemia, it was more like my tumors.
Okay.
So that was pretty much the where we've started focusing more on, like, overall, just like, okay, we're gonna get you through, but this tumor has to go. And so now it's like, the medication has worked, and it also didn't take it has taken me a long time to get like my treatment, because I've also been very like with focused with school, that when I was going to the doctor, my doctor was trying their best, like, okay, you're not like, I'm considering other people that do have cancer, I'm on the good side of the world. Like I'm like, okay, I caught it on time.
Yeah,
So
which is definitely a good thing. And as you mentioned, you were dealing with school. So we're about 2 years into the battle, right? Little,
oh my goodness, that is 2 years.
And you've been in school.
Yeah.
So getting diagnosed with leukemia while working towards these big goals, just briefly tell me what that has been like.
It's definitely has is like a challenge. It was very hard for me, because for those that don't really know, like, cancer is a it's like it's like my like this doctor always tells me, like, it's like you have a carrot and you literally dangle it in front of the person, and it's just like, you really gonna do it, or like, you really gonna take it or not gonna take it. Very blessed, I could say, because yeah, I've had my treatments, and I had also people have this concept, like this thing about cancer, where people like literally are dying, like oh my God, you have cancer, and it's just like, hold on, yes, but like relax, because like, you know, like there's certain things that people be thinking, like chemo is just chemo is even a pill, like chemo could be a pill, it could be a pill, it could be an injection, it could be an IV, it could be a lot of things, and people have this thing where they just are so. People are very ignorant. Even I am. I'm still ignorant about it. I don't know everything about it. And even though I'm in it, I don't even know, because it's like I have one foot in, but I also have another foot out that door. Like I'm like right there. Like, so it's kind of weird to explain it to people, because people be like, "Well, why is your hair not your hair didn't fall?" I'm like, my hair is falling. My hair is definitely falling. I just have a lot of hair. Like it's not
Yeah.
like real. Like it's not gonna be like all of a sudden I'm Britney Spears. Like no. Like chill. Like. I don't know. People really drive me crazy about this, and it annoys me too, to be honest. But
A lot of people are misinformed.
yes, and I am too. I am
Yeah.
too about a lot of things. Like I don't know a lot of everything, and so and to be honest with you, like I know maybe people could relate to me, maybe not. But I feel like when you're in it, you don't even care to ask questions. Like you really don't. You just be like, okay. And sometimes you be like, okay, so what is it? Like you have to ask questions, of course. But there's times where you just be like, just going with it at this point. So when I was going to school, I would have like so much pain and stress. But I also feel like school helped me a lot to distract me. Cause it was like a big distraction. It was like, yeah, like it was like a motivation for me. Like, okay, like you know what? Like I'm going through my stuff, but I'm still gonna do what I have to do. Cause even if it's the last thing I do, this is what I want. So
Yeah.
it was like that definitely was my strength. It was definitely stressful. There was times where I was in bed and I was like, damn, I don't even want to go to school. Or like, oh, I gotta wake up for clinicals. Like, oh, I have to study. Oh my God, like I feel like my head hurts, my back hurts, my bones hurt, my stomach hurts, like my eyes hurt, like breathing even hurts. Like it was bad. I didn't like feeling that way, but I also had was like, you know what? I have to do it. Like I have to do it. And it kind of motivated me, because I was like, I wanna be able to take care of people the way people take care of me. So that was definitely a good, and it was stressful, but it was a good thing for me.
How did you manage fear and the uncertainty?
Oh my God, I struggle so much with it. I think I still struggle with it.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, I told you I'm not.
They don't know that.
No, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not doing things before I die. Like I'm more scared of not doing it than actually die, because like I feel like there's times where I was like, when like even though like this is a very like it's hard to explain it, but I used to be like, I used to pray to God, and I used to be like, you know, God, like I have the worst back pain, and I know that people are even in worse situations than I am, and I used to be like, but I don't want to feel this pain, so if I have to die, just like, please just kill. Like, just let me die. Like, let me die in my sleep. You know, I used to be like, if I can't do all of these things that I want to do in life, then just take me with you, because then I don't want to live a life like this. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be living in suffering or be unhappy or be in pain or like And it hurts my feelings because it's like, why does this happen to me? And like, why is this, like, all I want to do is be a good person and just go to school, and that's all I've ever wanted, and be a nurse and help people. And I used to, I don't know, I used to feel very and then I used to do these plans in my head, and then my doctor would be like, hold on, because yes, you're gonna finish school, but during the summer, you're gonna do this, and then when you have your break, you're gonna do this, and when you finish school, you graduate, you're gonna go pa come back, and you're gonna start doing this treatment, because now we're gonna go full on. Like, this is not decade, you're gonna do it half-assed. Like, you're gonna do this. Like, and my doctors, I think, also felt like had a heart for me, because all the doctors that I've had have always been kind and have always been so generous to me. And this one doctor that I have right now, like, he's from New York, and he comes all the way over here to treat me in New Jersey. So he goes like, you know what, Jackie? Like, you're killing me. He's like, you're the one killing me. Like, this cancer is not even killing you. You're killing me. And he used to always tell me that. Like, and I used to be laughing because I'm like, I know, but I have to study. So, come on, give me my pill. I gotta go. And he used to be like, no, like, it doesn't work this way. And he, when they, you also go to therapy. Like, you also, they also give you therapy. They also put you in these groups. And a lot of people are scared of dying, but I think that I don't feel that way anymore. I used to feel more like I was only scared of not being with the people that I love more than dying, because I used to be like, I don't want to see my nephew, like, go to high school or like go to prom, and or like my niece now and my other nephew that I have. And I used to be like, I'm gonna grow up with not seeing my niece, like, or like see them grow, or like, and I used to like, or like my dad, like, my dad used to. My Nick, one time, my dad was like, I mean, he was crying because he was like, this is not supposed to be your life. Like, you're supposed to get married. Like, you're supposed to have kids. Like, and my dad, like, at some point was like, he was like telling me to have a kid, and I'm like, Dad, like, I don't think you understand how life is, and I'm not gonna have a kid, because my dad's like, everybody in my family is married. Like, my sister's married, my brother's married, except me. And I don't have kids either. They have kids. So it's like, my life really has been weird, because I've always focused so much on my goals that I think that I didn't focus much on my actual life, or like the actual, like, even like overall, like, I feel like I let a lot of my determination and my focus on what I wanted take away from other things. So I think that when I started getting sick and I started having all these problems, I started to realize, like, wow, like, this whole time, all I did was work. All I did was this. And then it's just like, and then now I'm still sick. And even though, but this is like something that I really wanted to do. So it's like, I can't be mad at myself. So it's just like, that's pretty much more of my fear of missing out more than dying. Because dying is just like, I know I'm gonna be at peace, And I'm not scared to be like, and then someone once told me, like, are you scared of dying? At first I was, and I remember this person telling me, they were like, but don't be scared, because if you be are you scared of being with God? And that kind of made me feel like a comfort in a sense, because it was like, well, no, I'm not scared to be with God then, because if that's where I have to go, then I'll go with him. And I don't think that I've been I don't think I have it I don't think that I've done anything evil. For me, if there's a thing that, heaven and hell, like, that I'm gonna go to hell. So I don't think that I'm gonna go there, to be honest.
I don't think I qualify
Yeah, I
for
know.
hell. I definitely qualify for heaven.
That's me. I like to believe so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it can be easy, and it's something that we always try to have positive conversations about. I always try not to push you. I'm not push you, not press you so much on the situation. Like, you have a doctor's appointment, and I'll just say, like, okay, how was it? And you'll give me like a one word, like, oh, it's fine, it's okay, it's not too good, but it's fine.
To everybody, and I designed it to my mom, and I
And I
can't.
get it, and you cannot press. And I feel like if there's anything that anyone takes away from having someone in their life who has cancer, it's already just, it could be any illness, right? Any life-threatening illness that anyone may have. It's not good to press. It's not good to freak out. It's not good to you know, if I was on top of Jackie on everything that we did together and I was like, oh, don't do this, like, if anything, I'll just always look out, right? I don't want to put her in any situation where it's super germy, or today we were leaving to go walk to get breakfast and she has like a little cold right now. So it's like, zip up, you know, cover your head. But just don't press, never press, and be present, right? If there's anything that I've taken away from the situation as your best friend, it's just to be present and enjoy every living freaking second that you have with the person, no matter if you're just in the same room, not even speaking, just be present in the moment, stay positive, and just be there. That's really all anyone ever needs. So people are probably wondering, right? Like, okay, she has cancer and she's in the medical field. So how are you going to like balance this? How do you see your patients? Like, do you think they'll view you any different? Do you think that having cancer is going to help with your patients?
I think that I'm hoping that I'm gonna get through this because that's what I ideally see myself as. Like, this is just gonna be like a
Yes, we're going to ring the bell soon.
yes, like that's it. Like, you know, and I even though I'm gonna be going to my treatment when we go when I come back from these little getaways, I'm hoping that by the end of that treatment, I'm gonna be good. You know, that's what I think this is the first time it's not the first time, but this is gonna be like the I'm gonna be full on, like admitted, and you know, I'm gonna be good. Or taken care of and you know, just overall doing what I need to do. I don't think that my patients will view me any different. I think that I'm gonna view my patients differently. Like I'm gonna be like, you know, like I'm gonna understand how I understand how it is to be in the bed, and I also understand how to be out of the bed.
Exactly.
So I'm definitely gonna know like what could potentially be like I'm gonna know how they all feel. So it's and I've been there. So in the experience of knowing how it is like, okay, I understand. I also know that as a nurse, like that I'm gonna be working as a nurse now. Like obviously it's gonna probably affect me a lot. You know, like I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna probably be a little biased, or not biased, but more like emotionally attached to that kind of thing. But I also need to learn how to detach myself from that. So professionally, I need to understand that yes, these people are here and they're going through something, but I know what it is to go through that, but I also need to be here to do my best job. I can't let that emotion get to me. I think that in some sense, like I've always wanted to work with people with cancer, and I've always said this even when I was like ever since I was 18 years old. I remember I told my mom when I was like, I've always wanted to work with cancer patients. And my mom always thought that I was crazy because I used to be like, I want to be a pediatric oncology nurse. And my mom was like, you're insane. Like, you're crazy. Everyone that I tell that, they always be like, what? Why would you want to do that? That's so sad. And I'm like, yeah, it is sad. But you know what? I think I have it in me. Like, I think that
Love the
I
kids.
love the kids. And then, you know, aside from that, it's like, I want to make their life better. And I think that I've always said this, and I said it to the universe, and maybe I'm hoping this is a God thing that he's just like, I'm gonna teach you so you know do better a better job, you know. So I'm gonna just take it with grace, and I don't know. I'm excited to be in the hospital and working already, but I'm sure it's gonna help me.
You know, I always say in my mind, this storm shall pass, and it's only going to make you such an exceptional nurse. And the kids need that. It's crazy because you see adults with cancer. Like you could see someone like you, 40-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, etc. But nothing hits like seeing a little kid admitted in the hospital, living there, getting treated for cancer. Because cancer comes with a lot of pains. I can't speak on my own experiences, but I've witnessed it and I know that it's very uncomfortable and it's very painful, and just all the poking and all the last words and stuff that you have to do. So to see a little kid, you know, a baby, a toddler, a child going through that, they just they just want someone there. You know, they just want someone there to look at them and give them that hope. Even though a lot of the times the hope is like so slim, but I really do see you there. And I'm also gonna say we're gonna take it by grace and hope that, you know, this is just something you live that only makes you better. So, one thing about healthcare and working in healthcare is that it's very stressful. So are you prepared to balance out your stress levels? Because for those who are listening, you cannot be stressed with cancer. Honestly, I always tell my mom, cancer is stress, right? If a person lives their life on high stress, 9 out of 10, you will get cancer in your life. It's what calls it. It's like those cells will
Everything,
start hearing the
everything.
call, like you're stressed. Okay, we're gonna start producing. So how do you think that's gonna go for you?
With
Were you
being dead
ready?
and being stressful and
Yeah.
the whole my whole personal life.
Like, do you think, no, not your personal, just your work life. So do you think that it's gonna be a crazy stress, or do you think you have it under control? Like you're gonna be okay.
I think I'm gonna be okay.
Okay.
I mean, I also worked in the health field for like a lot of
Yeah,
years,
a
right?
lot.
So I think that I'm already like I'm used to it. I'm probably not used to working in an actual hospital and having that amount of stress. But I mean, I there's nothing that could be more stressful than my mom. So I'm good. I'm good. Trust me. My mom could stress me out, and I'm like, I'm good. My mom gonna handle you. You know, like if my mom could, my mom goes for that. So definitely, I think I'm gonna be okay. Obviously, there's gonna be times where I'm gonna probably be like, oh my God, like I'm so stressed, or like, but I'm gonna have, it's nothing that could kill me, you know? I'd rather have
Yeah.
stress than to have it at all.
Yeah. And I think also that the stress, you know, you're gonna not be so stressed because you genuinely want to do this. So I think just stepping into that hospital every day, you're gonna be
I'm gonna
so
love my
grateful.
life.
Yeah. With your little bag and your scrubs and the whole nine and some fly ass sneakers or whatever it is you're gonna
My
wear.
cross.
Your Crocs, your clogs. So we're almost at the end of the episode. I have just a couple more questions for you. We're just gonna go through them pretty briefly. These are not as deep. We find so deep. Well, we get deep every day, but she is an emotional character. What is the biggest lesson that you have learned in life so far?
Wow. The biggest lesson, I think it's more like being grateful.
Okay. Me too. Every day.
Yes.
Every day grateful.
For everything.
We for everything, for the good and the bad, just say thank you. Because you know what? It could be worse. I want to know that moment where you wake up every single morning and you open your eyes. What is the first thing on your mind?
The first thing on my mind.
Yeah. What's your thought process? For example,
Coffee.
besides coffee, because yes.
My first thought is my mom, my family. Like my I think about I literally wake up and say like thank you God, or like, you
Yeah.
know. I'm not gonna say that I pray all the time. I'm not a big prayer. I'm a talker, like I talk to God, but I think that that's what it is. I just be like thankful, and I look forward to like looking at my mom sending me a message, like saying like, oh, good morning and stuff like that. My sister, like it's just pretty much family. Like I think about my family, and the first thing I do is text them.
Okay. What are your goals moving forward?
My goals, well, obviously getting my first nursing job. I think I want to continue education. Like I'm obviously. I want to go back for my bachelor's, master's, and probably my MP. That's one of the things that I want to do. Well, that's what I plan on doing. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I want to do that. I would definitely want to buy a house. I want to be grounded. Like I want to have my foundation of like, you know, I want my family to be set. I want to be set myself, and just overall like buy and prepare myself to like a bigger like vision of my life. I want to get my coffee shop or like my own business. So definitely work on my bigger goals. This is just like the beginning of a foundation that I'm gonna have a whole line of things that I'm gonna do. But there's definitely like work hard for other things.
Yes, I can't wait for that coffee shop.
Me either.
We love to visit coffee shops, and I can't wait for hers because I swear it's gonna be everyone's favorite. There's gonna be no other coffee shop that can compete.
I hope not.
No,
Except
I have full faith.
Starbucks
If there's anyone who needs their coffee, it is Jackie.
Yes.
What is one thing that you really want to experience in this life?
Besides traveling, one thing that I really, really, really want to do is go like surfing. That's probably one of the biggest experiences that I want to do. Like, I don't know where it is in Europe with those big waves,
Oh, I don't know either,
but
but
have you seen them? That's what I want to do. Like, just be so good at it.
I love watching the videos where they get the footage under the in the wave and they're
Yes.
just
Oh my
going
God.
through it. Like,
That's.
what?
But first, I need to learn how to swim.
And ride a bike. Maybe that should have been what you really wanted to
Yeah, definitely.
experience. Okay, last question. What message would you like to share with the listeners who may be facing their own tough situations or battles with health and mental well-being?
Oh my God.
What do you want to tell them? Because it's all of us.
There, it's definitely all of
We're
us.
all facing tough situations and mental well-being.
I feel like knowing that you're not alone. And I'm not saying that because of like you have family and friends. I think that just if you ever like I don't know, this helps me. Like if you ever feel like sad or like angry or something, just go outside and hug a tree. And you're not alone. Like there's so many things that are out there that just could make you feel better. And it's trust me, like none of the no alcohol, no drugs, none of that is gonna ever make us feel better. And it's just like sometimes you feel it, it's a good thing. Pain is a good thing. That means you're alive. You know, like you have to feel it and just don't ever think that in this world that like you don't belong. Like you belong somewhere and you just have to find it. And don't give up on that. All that hurt, all that pain, all that depression, all that anxiety, all those things that you may feel, just use that as a strength to become better. And
Yep.
do it for yourself. Don't do it for no one else. That would probably be my biggest
Yes.
thing.
I agree. I think your resilience, your strength, and everything about you has helped me in my journey.
Well, that's good. I was
Yeah.
gonna say thank you, but it's like you're welcome.
But no, I think this was great. I think this was very informative. I love learning about people's lives. I think it's the one thing about, if there's anything I want to experience in life, is to learn about so many life stories. I think it's crazy how many people there are in this world, and you see yourself going through life sometimes, especially when it comes to mental health, and you really sometimes you just really want to give up, you know? And I promise you, there's like 20 million people behind you that want to do the same thing almost all the time. So
And it's
that,
also been a lot of people that have done it. And
yeah.
the pain that it still leaves behind.
Yeah. I mean, today on Instagram, I two people in the famous world industry committed suicide. Not the famous world, I think. One of them was a judge who shot himself in his courtroom after everyone was adjourned. That was the first article I read this morning when we were before we got up this morning. And then the other one was the husband of an actress, killed himself today as well. So, I mean, it's not just them, it's multiple people. And, you know, if you get anything from this episode, it's that you have to keep going, have to keep going, you have to get up, get it done. And like Jackie said, do it for you, not for nobody else. And I think I'll get emotional at the end now. Because we did it. We did it. We did the first episode of
Oh my God,
this like incredible journey.
I hold my tears. I did. Oh
Yeah,
my God.
I have been talking about this podcast for 3 years now.
I'm gonna be like years.
And I just want to say thank you.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
Because I don't know what I'd do without you.
Oh, me either.
And it's an honor
Oh my
to
God,
do
I'm
this.
gonna make you cry.
It's an honor to do this with you as my first time. And I can't wait for people to hear your story and feel all that power that you have within you. And you're
Thank
literally the
you.
most special person in my life. So thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed Dadum Dirty. I can't wait for all the many episodes that are going to happen. And please give us as if Jackie's gonna be here every
Don't
episode.
give her.
Jackie's always gonna be here. She's gonna be in my
It's me.
mind, in spirit, but like alive. Okay? Okay,
Yes,
nobody. No negative energy could like that, okay? She's gonna be in spirit, alive, present with me, because she literally is part of me. She knows that. So this is what this podcast is going to be. It's just a lot of talking, listening. Every day we are so distracted and people don't want to have conversation anymore. People just it's an art that has been lost, and it's an art that is necessary, and we have to be a community and listen to each other, help people unpack things, you know, that they normally don't talk about. You don't sit there and question your friend with a bunch of questions like these ever, right? So maybe if you did that from time to time, they'd feel like, wow, can't believe I talked about that today. And you know what? Like, I've grown so much because I can talk about certain things so freely when before, like, I probably was so quiet about it and never wanted to speak on it. So
Yeah.
thank you, my
Thank you.
Jax. We are gonna go have an eventful day today here in Connecticut. And thank you for everyone listening. Like I said, make sure you guys give some feedback. Follow the Instagram, subscribe to the pod, and just wait because this thing gonna blow up.
Hopefully.
No, it already will be. God already said so.
Yes. God, listening to us too.
Yes.
You're our last guest.